Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every Friday at 9 o'clock, we talk Chiefs. Welcome into the Chiefs Roundtable, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger.
Lamar, how do you get over as a team the hurdle of the Chiefs, where it seems like they are the one team that...
Kryptonite.
Yeah. How do you get over that hurdle?
Second half, we always start cranking up at the wrong time. We got to come in and finish how we start. Like, we always go opposite, I guess, against them for some reason. We just got to tighten up and play better, that's all.
Lamar Jackson, after last year's matchup with the Chiefs, calling them our kryptonite. It is the Chiefs Roundtable. Alex Gold and Cody and Gold dropping by. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride in studio with us as well. It's pretty safe to say they're in Lamar Jackson's dome.
Of course. Like, how could you not at this point? He's just the honest one. I think they're in the heads of Josh Allen as well. I think they're in the heads of Baker Mayfield at this point as well.
I don't know that they're in the head, though, of anybody more than they are with Lamar Jackson right now, because Lamar has had three straight games against this organization, and he has not been able to have that success. And I think for him to take it to the next level and be considered one of those greats in this league, even though as much as I love him, watching him play, you still haven't been able to beat Patrick Mahomes. And I think that probably eats at Lamar Jackson, maybe even more than losing in the postseason right now.
Only one team wins the Super Bowl. And for a little bit there, the thing with Lamar was succeeding in the playoffs. He had back-to-back playoffs where the Ravens were one and done.
Mm-hmm.
Really successful regular season career. Just looking at his record, he's 30-8. Three of those losses came against the Chiefs.
That's a hell of a record, too.
Exactly. It's just a lot of success, an MVP award, and really, considering he was able to get the playoff win, not every team can win the Super Bowl, right? So playoff success, a little bit there, right there. This is kind of the last thing. Can you beat Patrick Mahomes? And I think it's a lot of teams that are going to be asking the same question that Lamar Jackson is right now.
You know, we had Mitch Holt as the voice of the Chiefs on earlier this morning. He joins us every single Friday at 7:30 here on 610 Sports Radio. And he had made the comment that this game could go a long way in determining the future of Lamar Jackson with the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, where do you guys fall on that? Like, how big a game is it for Lamar's future with Baltimore? Because I know, Josh, you're in the instance of, just go out and draft another quarterback. Lamar's not one of the top four in the league, but he's in the top seven or eight in this league. You know, so does this weekend go far in determining his future with Baltimore?
I just think it probably determines what you need to load up on offensively.
Yeah, he's getting
around, because this year they wanted to go find a number one wide receiver, and they came back with Sammy Watkins.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Charlie Weiss.
I don't know that that's exactly. I think that they have to probably really seriously reassess how they can help him offensively.
Yeah, because it's not Hollywood Brown. That guy's injured every single week. My God.
Yeah, and they go and get the Bateman kid as well. I mean, they tried and with Tylan Wallace, I think, as well. Like, they went out and tried to go and get some wide receiver weapons for him. We'll see if they progress as the season goes on. But, like, Lamar Jackson's getting a contract extension at the end of the season. I was stunned that he didn't get it done much like the Josh Allen deal before the season. That number might... I don't think it's dictated by what happens on Sunday night, but that number for Lamar Jackson still has a chance to be higher than what Josh Allen had.
He doesn't have an agent. He's his own agent.
His mom, right?
His mother. And right now, the news out of Baltimore is that he's too distracted with the NFL season to even talk about it. I mean, sometimes you do see these contract extensions get done in season. So to me, I think it is a no-brainer. We're so fortunate in Kansas City to have the top one. But it is hard to get a top 10 quarterback. Yeah. And I think we can all agree that Lamar Jackson is that. And they've been building the offense around him. It's not like they didn't try to do this. They, as Alex said, drafted Bateman. The running back situation is unbelievable in the sense that they're down to almost Le'Veon Bell at this point. And so it's been unfortunate.
And the way you phrased that was really funny.
It was perfect. Yeah. They got to go to Le'Veon Bell.
A key point of this, too, and you're looking at this game specifically, Ronnie Stanley as the left tackle. They bet on Stanley by trading Orlando Brown to the Chiefs. When Stanley was injured last year, Brown was the left tackle who slid over, and it is just an utter mess in Baltimore. It's never something you root for, but the Chiefs couldn't catch the Ravens at a better time.
No,
right now.
I think you're right, because Alejandro Villanueva, as awful as he was at right tackle against Max Crosby, is now moving over to the left side, and that's the blind side, as we know, and that's the most important position on the line. Now, he kind of lucks out that he doesn't have to play against Chris Jones. He gets Frank Clark, but I mean, if Frank Clark's on and he's going, he's going to have his hands full there as well.
We know he'll be rested. We can say that.
That's right. He will definitely be well rested for this game. But Alejandro Villanueva, to me, is a very interesting, you know, case study, because he signed with a division rival, and no fan on his own team cared that he went and signed with a division rival. That should tell you what a lot of people think of his playing ability.
He was right a name that came up in Kansas City for a little while during the offseason.
Hot minute.
Just for a little bit, people were considering maybe he's an option. I think left tackle is his natural position, but still, based on what he looked like against the Raiders, I don't know how you can have any confidence if you're a Ravens fan in him.
Yeah, you got to get after this offensive line. They got to be questioning themselves, and you can't let them have any kind of success, right?
That's right.
Get on this group early, getting doubting themselves. They're going to be revamped, as you mentioned. New spot at left, new spot at right.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get after that offensive line early and often, and then obviously don't forget the quarterback. Chiefs didn't tackle great last week, and I think they need to do a better job of that defensively this week, because you just can't let them get off to a good start.
The Chiefs, too, with Chris Jones, they're moving him all over, you know, inside, right end, left end. Jones versus Villanueva sounds like a problem if you are a fan of the Baltimore Ravens. And then if Frank Clark is back in the mix and then suddenly he's on the other side and he's got one-on-one, you would think that even at this point, we joke, he's well-rested. Mm-hmm. Clark should be able to beat one-on-one a few times in this game. I think it's going to be a problem for the Ravens offense to even get going. And as we saw last week, what hasn't told us that the Chiefs offense shouldn't just roll in Baltimore? This could get, we say it a lot and maybe sometimes too much considering how last week went, but this really feels like a lopsided matchup going into Sunday night.
Well, and I think to your point, Pete, though, you do it early. I think if you punch him in the mouth early, and I think if you score a couple of touchdowns early on this one, and you know have a couple of three and outs early in this one, I think this is one where Baltimore probably just goes away. I don't seem to think that they have that same fight in them, because they are so decimated by injuries. I mean, you lose Marcus Peters, you lost every running back you ever had, your offensive line is in shambles, and oh, by the way, you're facing the team that has owned you for the last four games.
And yeah, I mean, the Chiefs have outscored Baltimore like 13 points in the first half in all these meetings. That's exactly what the Chiefs have done the last couple of meetings. They've put the Ravens away for the most part. And I think the only concern I would have defensively for the Chiefs in this game, and I don't know if you guys agree, to me, this is the game that we might notice Willie Gay Jr. not being out there more, just because of the athleticism of Lamar Jackson. I think that's the only thing I would question a little bit with Lamar Jackson not having Willie Gay Jr. Is that a bigger problem this week than it was a week ago?
I think I feel better about it with the way Bolton looked. If this were the first game, to me, I'd be way more concerned about that. I think the
Bolton was good.
Yeah, he was
good.
Yeah,
he did look sharp.
Looked really good. And, you know, something I noted was being able to really chase down Nick Chubb and get him wrapped up. That's one of the tougher players. Talk about top 10, top 20 players to wrap up in the NFL. And he didn't even have any fear in his first game against one of these top running backs. So I feel good about Bolton. Now, if you get another injury at the linebacker position, it's going to be a little bit interesting at that point. So you just got to stay healthy until Gay can get back in the mix. But should be a good game. And I just want to say something about the point Bob made in punching him in the mouth early. Man, that Monday Night Football game was tough. They basically had another chance. They have the ball on the 50-yard line. This is a Ravens team that is looking for a reason to doubt themselves. So if you are able to get that first stop, if you are able to get that quick touchdown, then all of a sudden this thing can unravel fast.
Well, we talked about it earlier in probably the 8 o'clock hour. I think this could be a big day for Jaron Reed as well, because the interior of that offensive line, if you listen to anything out of Baltimore this week, they're like, yeah, the tackles suck, but the interior sucks even more. Like they were down big time on that interior line.
Monday was who sucked, Tuesday was who sucked more.
Right, yeah.
They've just been evolving as the week's gone on.
Everybody sucks, right? Yeah. And so by the time you reach Friday, it's like you're listening in Baltimore, and they got no chance of winning this football game. Now, I don't believe that at all. Every team in the NFL has a chance every single week. Some are greater than others, obviously. But I think Jaron Reed can dominate that position, because a lot of Lamar's designed runs go right up the gut. And if Jaron Reed can push that pocket back and frustrate Lamar at the line of scrimmage and allow those linebackers to come in and make those plays, I think it's going to be a long day for Lamar trying to run the football. And watching him, I just see it in my mind all the time. Again, I am a huge Lamar Jackson fan. I love watching this guy play football. But you see him in the pistol, you see him in the shotgun, take that snap and immediately try to go up the middle. If Jaron Reed is as good as everybody's telling us he is, that play goes nowhere all night on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Chiefs, if we saw what happened against Cleveland, I mean, they had zero push in interior. So, like, it's got to be a complete opposite of what we saw a week ago against Cleveland.
Well, you're talking about a good Cleveland line versus a decimated one by the Ravens.
Sure, sure. I mean, that's the hope, right? There's no excuse if we don't see it this go around.
Right.
I mean, you have to. I think that Baker Mayfield had more time than any other quarterback in the NFL last week. Mm-hmm. More time than any other quarterback in the NFL. They got to find a way to get more interior pressure.
And you get that, though, because you do have a running game. And they established the run early. It goes back to what we were talking about with Patrick Mahomes and this team against Baltimore. Rushes for about 10 to 15 yards more per game against the Ravens than they do on their average for a season. So the Chiefs are looking probably to run the football as well, but you were able to have that success last week if you're Cleveland, because you had that two-headed monster at running back that allowed you to have that success. You had to respect the run. With Baltimore right now, the only runner you truly need to respect is what Lamar's going to do.
No, I completely agree. And I think, you know, the skinnier, a little bit quicker Anthony Hitchens will help in this game. And the interior does need to step up. Alex makes a good point. Mm-hmm. That's why they went out and got Jaron Reed. And you also have Derek Nnadi in that mix. Colin Saunders was a player dealing with an injury, it looked like, at the beginning of the week. Should be good to go now. And so you have the players not only, I think, as the starters, but you have the rotational players as the game goes on. That was something that really stuck out to me that Colin Saunders said when he spoke to the media prior to the first game, just the idea that when him and, for example, Turk come in, they're aiming for no drop-off. And if you can get 60 minutes of that and keep these guys fresh, especially in the interior, that's the key. And getting to the ball and driving towards Lamar, that's going to control this team. This just Chiefs team, if you look offense to offense with all these injuries, it pales in comparison. And I think the Chiefs are right there defensively with this Ravens team. And so, to me, that equals a win on Sunday night.
Pete, back to you mentioned Nick Bolton a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. I thought what was cool out of game one was that not only did he play well, but he played.
Yeah, he played. Right. Yeah.
And you're never exactly sure how you're going to mix in a rookie. If you told me at the end of the game he had, even with Willie Gay out, that he had like 12 plays on defense. He didn't. He played a bulk of the game.
He was your leading tackler, if I wasn't mistaken,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, your co-leading tackler, yeah. Right? If I'm not, is that right?
Yeah, I think it was seven.
And then played 76% of the snaps on defense. I'm like, okay, that says a lot, because we know that trust is a big factor in getting PT with this Chiefs coaching staff, and he's seemingly earned it already.
The NFLPA wants to shut down the offseason completely because of the COVID year and how everything was okay. But the key there was Willie Gay didn't have that. And Nick Bolton did. And you saw the difference. Gay is going to be fine. He's going to look great when he starts to play week four. I have confidence in what we saw at training camp. He didn't have that opportunity to be with Steve Spagnuolo physically last year and just was behind all year. Again, it'll be fine this year. But Bolton had that. And all these rookies had that. And that's why I know it stinks to come back early for 10 weeks during the offseason. But that gets the teams ahead. And especially when you have a coaching staff like what Reed has developed on his offensive side of the football, but also the defensive side. Bolton just looks so much more prepared than Gay did last year, and it showed in his production.
Well, and I think to your point about the PA trying to shut things down, the Players Association, they'll try to shut anything down that requires work. But if you ask any player that's on a legitimate team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl, they'll all say, no, we want to be there. It's the teams like the Jaguars that want no part of it because they got a coach that's a crazy man.
Yeah, you got to get away from your coach in that instance. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, Alex Gold from Cody and Gold in studio for the Chiefs Roundtable brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. The Chiefs have a Raven. The Ravens have a Chief, but their philosophies are different now. Orlando Brown needs to start snitching. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Welcome back into the Chiefs Roundtable, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger.
I'm trying to win at the end of the day. So snitch, no snitch, anything I can give Wink in the defense, that's what I'm going to do. And not particularly giving up plays, but hey man, do this on this guy and do this on that guy, and that's just the way of football. Guys go on different teams every week, every day. You know, you pull a guy off practice squad to try to pick their brain. So I mean, I'm gonna try to do anything to win.
Sammy Watkins, that's right, Sammy
Watkins, now member of the Ravens. It is our Chiefs Roundtable. Pete Sweeney, Arrowhead Pride, Alex Gold, and Cody and Gold in studio with us. This to me, I mean, Sammy Watkins is an open book.
Yep.
Orlando Brown says he's not snitching. I think Orlando Brown needs to reconsider after hearing Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. You know, we're pro snitch on our show. We got the snitch line that we do. So
right, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sammy Watkins is doing it the right way here in this scenario.
You got to snitch. Pete, you and I grew up on the East Coast, so we knew snitches got stitches, and you got taken down to the docks and thrown into the river.
That's where Orlando Brown's coming from. Yeah.
But this is a different ballgame, man. You're going against a team that didn't want you anymore, that didn't believe in you anymore, that didn't think you could play a certain position that you've always wanted to play, one that you wanted to play for your old man, and now you're not going to snitch on them. This is one where the snitches get stitches thing goes out the window. Sammy Watkins has got this right. You need to sing, man.
Yeah, I think if Orlando Brown hasn't said anything so far, just show them this clip of Sammy Watkins just saying, yeah, I'm just going to give them the entire playbook that
right.
I can remember.
And
who knows? With that reptilian mind, he might remember each and every play that Andy Reid did last year.
And every tell, too. That's the other thing. It's not necessarily about the plays. It's about, okay, is there a tell that Patrick Mahomes has that you can give us? Or if you're Orlando Brown Jr.
Lamar dips his right shoulder, you know he's going to run.
Right, right. Like you're looking for like any advantage, right, in the NFL. Any slight advantage that you can have to help your team win a ball game. And if you got some inside info, man, inside juice, you need to give out that information.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier in the show that, like, the Chiefs went and claimed Tommy Thompson's brother or somebody off of some, like, the Raiders
Tommy
practice
Townsend's
squad
brother,
or whatever it
just
it was.
Happened with the Chargers. The Chargers ended up picking up Maurice French, who spent really the entire offseason in training camp with the Chiefs.
Right.
And they play them week three. So there is some of that. I think sometimes it gets blown up. But when you were so much in the offense like Sammy is going to have those cues. I don't think it's going to lead to a Ravens victory. But yeah, come on, Orlando Brown.
Yeah, you've got to snitch,
or,
man.
Or not just to Wink, but to his DBs.
Right, whoever. Yeah.
Hey, you watch. I mean,
Or he's got some tells on Tyreek Hill.
I got Tyreek Hill. Watch him. He plants a foot and he's going left. You know, whatever.
whatever it is.
Nuances. He's gonna know him.
Sure. And that's why having Marcus Peters out of this game is a big bonus too, you know, because he has a little bit of the inside information from playing against those guys in practice.
A couple years removed on that one though, right?
But I mean, like, still played against Kelce and Hill and Mahomes.
Because Matthew acknowledged yesterday, I mean, Pete, you were on the Matthew acknowledged yesterday there's a few things that they're gonna switch up because of Sammy Watkins, because of what he may know.
Yeah.
And the Peters point is good though too, because Peters works on instincts. I mean, he's that instinctual player, and that's how he has that ball hawk ability, and a lot of that is just kind of knowing tendencies. And so that is a huge loss, I think, for the Ravens. And he seems to pick a ball off too against opposing teams that he played for every game that he plays the opposing team. He did it against the Rams as well. So again, huge loss. But yeah, I think anything that you could possibly provide for the team you're playing for is what you do. I don't think the snitches should be lumped in here.
No, not at all. I think it's gamesmanship. It's part of the deal. That's interesting. For French is now with the Chargers, huh? I didn't see
believe
that.
It's the practice squad.
The Chargers.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be careful. Nice little slip out there, but we'll get after Maurice French in week three, I guess.
Chargers!
It's safe to say if somehow the Ravens win this game, it's Orlando Brown's fault, right?
Didn't give up enough info.
And Sammy. Got to take Sammy.
Definitely Sammy's fault.
No, you give Sammy the credit for being the snitch. You blame Orlando Brown for not snitching.
Definitely. I think Orlando Brown is just saying what he said. I think he's behind the scenes giving everything that he possibly knows. Although Spags was asked about it, and it did seem like maybe they haven't communicated, which is just surprising to me. I think he would have just had a conversation with them, but remains to be seen.
Be the first person I would have talked to this week if I'm Steve Spagnuolo. I'd be like, hey, let's go, Orlando. Let's go grab a cup of coffee and have a conversation.
Let's find out whatever Lamar does when he does pass or run. That would have been great.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But also coaches, I think, are really smart, can break down tape maybe better than players can at times, too.
Yeah, but there's also certain things that players just know, like a hard count.
Anything else I need to know aspect of it that I would certainly ask about.
Come on, man.
All right, Matthew, speaking of Matthew back this week, what do you guys think the impact's going to be of having him back to this defense?
Yeah, I think it's massive. I think last week's game against Cleveland reminded me of what the defense looked like prior to that Titans game in 2019, where guys were blowing assignments, nobody trusted each other, nobody was holding anybody accountable. I think it's massive from just the pure guys in the right spots, guys feeling more confident in their own abilities. Plus, we just know, you mentioned instincts a second ago. Tyrann Mathieu, of course, is all about that as well. So I think it's huge for this team, and I do believe a huge part of what we saw last week. Yes, Willie Gay Jr. was out, so was Frank Clark, but so much was because Tyrann Mathieu just wasn't out on that football field.
As long as he can get on the field and feels good enough to do so, I think he's going to have a big impact. I wonder just how healthy he is right now, because this is a guy who is dying to get on the field. And if you really listen to that press conference yesterday, he was asked if he was 100%, and he was honest. He said, you know, I'm getting there. And being there in the room, he just didn't look as healthy as he usually does. He had this run with COVID and was out for 2 weeks. And so I do wonder if there is a little bit of that easing in, if maybe he doesn't play 100% of snaps, but even a little bit of Tyrann Mathieu would be a huge boost to this team. So we'll see. Again, this is purely my speculation upon what he said and what I kind of saw a little bit yesterday. Remains to be seen how much he plays on Sunday night.
I think if they lost him for an extended period of time, it would be the single biggest loss that this team could have other than Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, this is why big picture with Tyrann Mathieu, I think it would be a massive mistake if somehow he's not on this football team next season. I think the loss of him is just massive. And I think we all agree what we saw on Sunday against Cleveland, like, how does that not make you want to get a deal done with Tyrann Mathieu even more than where you were already at?
And also, if you're Cleveland, you're looking at that, because they didn't have Tyrann Mathieu, we still lost that football game.
Bob, are you worried that they're not finding enough safety options? Yeah,
I couldn't get to that.
We're not developing enough safety options behind Tyrann Mathieu.
We don't have anybody to go out there and be the safety option. Who's their fourth option at safety? Brett Veachtown problems.
Armani Watts, right? The most clutch college football player there ever was. No.
There you go. It is a fun kind of former player game. You mentioned won't see Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
Justin Houston didn't look like Justin Houston.
Right.
But then you got Watkins and Brown, a lot of familiar faces.
Bell,
in this one, which make
Bell's
it fun.
In the building.
And Bell, yes.
Bell, yeah.
I don't know how much he remembers from the playbook. He played a lot of Call of Duty on Instagram, so I don't know if he remembers much. But Sammy's probably the person.
Somebody in Baltimore did ask me about this week. I said, well, I'm not sure he could give you much intel.
No, he didn't know much when he was here.
He had a big grasp of the playbook when he was here. So.
He's not on the 53, but he could remember on Saturday. Remains to be seen. Get elevated in that practice squad elevation thing that they created last year with COVID.
We'll see if he blames Harbaugh in about 6 weeks or so.
Yeah,
we'll
absolutely.
I'm looking at your knees, Goal. I don't know if you're a knee bender. I'm just wanted to throw that out there. I'm not sure Gold is
a knee
bender. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're flexible.
Bend these knees any day of the week.
Bend knees with the best of them.
That's right.
Alex Gold and Cody Gold, what's coming up on the show today, 10 to 2?
Well, Pete Sweeney's going to hop on at 11 if he's still not upset with us for kicking him out of our guillotine league. And then
I didn't hear how that turned out.
Yeah,
I heard the initial debate, and then I forgot to follow up to find out.
Why did you kick him out?
He was the one that was out.
We overbooked the league.
One of the hosts overbooked the league, and somehow I was
I would have kicked Cody out.
Cody cut to the front of the line and demanded to be in, didn't he?
We'll also spin our wheel. Really bad half hour at 1:30 today. We've got punishments. Since Jody Fortson made the active roster, that is a wheel spin for me. So we shall see what the punishment's going to be.
And Pete, what's going on at Arrowhead Pride?
Yeah, we'll have the last injury report. This is where we'll see how many Ravens are actually out. The Chiefs right now are projected to have no statuses, which is absolutely great.
This late in the season, too.
Correct. Well, when you see the, and you look across, and there's eight players that are key for the Ravens that are out, I think that is, that's so important. And then also, too, remember Willie Gay is not on that list because he still has the 2 weeks to go on injured reserve. Great stuff coming out this morning. Kramer, who works here as well, he put out his Madden simulation, so be sure to check that out. And we got some good storylines coming up on our product.
Kramer, now,
that's right.
Now working video game.
Now doing the video game angle. Good for him.
Telling his parents, that's like, right. Look, see what video games have done for me.
That's right. You didn't want me to play.
It is Pete Sweeney.
Developed this Nintendo thumb over here.
That's right. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride and Alex Gold and Cody and Gold dropping by for our Chiefs roundtable. It's brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. The Ravens will try to do their thing on Sunday, and that falls right into Patrick Mahomes' hands. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We have not one, but two pizzas to give away, right?
That's right. We do.
From the other place?
We have two large specialty pizzas from the other place. You know whose birthday it is today?
Patrick Mahomes.
It's Patrick Mahomes' birthday, but you, not you, Kling, but like the general audience, you, you are getting the presents today on Patrick Mahomes' birthday.
Does he know this?
Does Reek know?
I didn't run this by him. What's in the box, by the way?
I'm trying to figure it out.
Okay,
right
let
now.
Me know here in a
I
second.
I got like two sides open, but can't open it.
Yeah, I know what's in the box.
I know exactly what's in the box. Yeah. It's the new shoes the Chiefs sent me.
No, it's not. It's not. They look like shoes, but it's not. It's the same thing I got 3 weeks ago, remember? It's a talking box.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
It's the talking box.
Yeah, yeah. It's my home's talking box.
Too much tape. I can't
stop calling right now. We're not giving these pizzas away.
No!
Be caller number 15 when you hear a Mahomes drop.
I'm not going to play the drop for you.
I'm
going
to play right now. But next time you hear Mahomes drop, I'll be caller 15. We'll do it twice here in the next 20 minutes before the show ends today. So there you
go. So we're giving away gifts on Patrick Mahomes.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, a gift in and of itself, joins us each and every Friday at 7:30.
Mitch really is a gift.
He keeps calling me Willikowski, and I know damn good and well he knows my name.
Oh, he's doing it on purpose.
Well, like says Klingsta.
He did tell me I was looking thin whenever he saw me yesterday. So
you know he's full of it.
That's good. He says what you want to hear, right?
Where'd you see him yesterday?
Going to the bathroom.
He was here
yesterday? He was checking into the Wolf. I think he had to do some stuff with them.
So he came in yesterday, didn't even come and say hi to Josh and I. Because Josh isn't allowed to look at him in the eye. We left at the same time yesterday.
Not you and I.
No, Ryan had a post game pee before he left.
No, it was a deuce. I'm not gonna lie, it was.
Like,
I was holding
still
it
in my
all
car
Ryan,
though
Ryan.
When you were walking out. It was not that much
was
later.
It?
Yeah,
was I?
Yeah, it was close. It was close. Anyway, Mitch, we did.
It was a good
speak
too.
To him today at the 7:30, and he says huge game for the Ravens.
What the Ravens have been since John Harbaugh has been there, and John's done a great job. Excellent coach. Was with Coach Reed for 10 years in Philadelphia. I think their whole program is in balance here. Because think about it. They've got to decide, what are we doing with Lamar Jackson? Is he that guy? Is he the guy at 2:49 to go, one timeout, two-minute warning, down four, he's going to go get seven? If they, because they got to figure out if they're going to pay him the big bucks or not. And then the second part of the equation of this game to me is Baltimore has been such an outstanding, dominating defensive team and such an attacking defensive team. They blitz you, getting on the tarmac, and here they come. And it became a problem from there. I think it cost them the game against the Raiders on Monday Night Football. They ran in, they sent eight guys on the final play in overtime. Eight. It's only the second time that's happened in overtime. In Next Gen Stats had this since Next Gen Stats came into being. Like, what are you doing? Especially with the injuries. Mm-hmm. So here's John Harbaugh flying home from that game thinking, what are we? What are we doing? If it's more than just going 0-2 this week for them, it could be a much bigger picture. There's a lot of pressure on those guys.
Yeah, I think there is too. And you get them down early, they're going to start to question themselves.
Oh, God, yes. We've been there. We've seen this. We've seen this act before.
Their juices are flowing.
We have seen this act before, Josh.
9-1-3-5-7-6-7-6-10, be caller 15.
Where you get a team on the ropes or a team that you're facing that is
questioning
where they're going, mm-hmm. whether or not they can do it. And the minute you boom, they fall backwards and they spiral out of control. We've all seen it happen in every sport that is out there. as I think it was Pete that said it during the roundtable, they're looking for a reason to lose this football game.
Or to doubt themselves.
Or to doubt themselves. Yeah, I changed it up a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, they're looking for that reason to doubt themselves. If you give it to them right away, this team is not going to recover because, again, as we've talked about, Josh, all week long, listening in on Baltimore radio, we listen in every week, right? Every week we listen into where the Chiefs are playing, who their opponent's going to be, find out what's going on. It's all on the Odyssey app. It's great. And this is the first time in the last 3 years that I've listened in on Baltimore and sensed doubt. Usually they're pretty positive. We feel good. It's a good franchise, good team. There was a lot of doubt this week about this team and just the matchup on the offensive line for them and the defensive line for the Chiefs. If that goes the way we think it's going to go, it is going to be a lot of folks leaving at halftime and a lot of people shutting off the TV at the end of the third quarter going,
Chiefs fans making their way down to the better seats.
Chiefs fans making their way down. Alex and his mom will leave the upper deck together hand in hand and end up down in the front row.
Ravens are big and blitzing. You heard Mitch mention they sent 8 on the key play in overtime on Monday night. They might want to reconsider that against the Chiefs.
I think he's going to blitz. How much? Where are they coming? And will he play what teams have done against Patrick Mahomes since the mid part of the 2000 season? And that is play back, make him be patient. It's what every team has done, essentially. It's what every team in the playoffs did. It's what, obviously, Tampa Bay did in Super Bowl 55. But it's like these guys go, nope, that's not us. We do what we do. It's like the team in basketball that goes, we press. We just play man-to-man pressure. And then you get beat by 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we do. Well, we'll try something different. It's the crux of this game. If Wink Martindale does – I just thought it cost them the game against the Raiders. I don't know what you guys thought. But to send 8 guys on a cover zero blitz in that instance, just hand it the game to Las Vegas.
Unless it works, then you're genius.
Yeah, then like you're genius, those, right,
like,
yeah.
It's one of those like make or break type moments.
But it doesn't work against Patrick Mahomes.
And Patrick Mahomes has been so good against the blitz, but I still think you have to get, you know, you have to get pressure on him. So mm-hmm. it is a fine line, but you know, can you, we discussed earlier, if you can get home with 4, like that's the best.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have to blitz
mm-hmm.
and can just get consistent pressure up front, but maybe the blitzing confuses a still inexperienced offensive line. So I think there's some aspects of it that the Ravens can take advantage of if they're successful, but the quarterback has shown that bring it.
Yeah,
he's usually pretty good with it.
And you say get to the quarterback with 4 and not have to blitz. That's my hope for the Chiefs this week. I hope Frank Clark and Derek Nnadi and Jaron Reed and Chris Jones and Tershawn Wharton and all those guys that are on that interior of that defensive line, Colin Saunders, everybody on that defensive line with a rotation and the ability to keep guys fresh along that defensive line, I'm hoping that's what we see, especially with the way that their offensive line is banged up. If the Chiefs can get home with 4, good night, Lamar. You don't have a chance in this one.
I like that. Good night, Lamar. It's good. Troy in Pittsburgh won himself a specialty pizza from the other place.
The Pennsylvania one or the one in Kansas out there by Frontenac?
I didn't ask, but I'm pretty sure it's the one in Kansas.
Pretty sure it's the one in Kansas.
Okay.
I'll be listening within the next 10 minutes. We'll play another Mahomes drop. Be caller 15. You can win a pizza from the other place.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, the trenches are where it's going to be determined for me this weekend, right? If the Chiefs hold and look even better than they did, you know, last week against a defensive front that wasn't very good for Baltimore.
Right.
If you can hold off their blitz or take advantage of it with the quarterback, you know, darting it all over the place. And then obviously on the flip side, if Chris Jones gets going and Frank Clark is back and you get the push up the middle, this defensive line has the advantage against the Baltimore offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore offensive line has a chance to say last week wasn't who we were. We'll be better somehow, some way this week. But you got those moving parts. I can't imagine it's going to be a whole lot better.
You know, the more I think about it, Josh, I'm like, have we talked about any other matchup in this game other than the Chiefs defensive line against the offensive line of the Baltimore Ravens? It's crazy that we have been so kind of minutely focused on this. When you read all the notes Mitch gave to you for your homework this week, did he talk about anything else in that, or was it just the offensive line of the Ravens being so bad?
I mean, he's been big on the blitz, right? Yeah. He discussed that with a lot with us mm-hmm. Today and dealing with that offense. But that's where it starts. I mean, that's where it all starts. I mean, as much as you want to say it's quarterback versus quarterback, no, it's everything up front. If the Chiefs are taking care of business up front and wrapping up not letting Lamar Jackson dart off on those runs. They didn't run the ball great in the Monday night game. I mean, they had good rushing numbers, but a bunch of it was Lamar taking off.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's where he's super dangerous. It wasn't a lot of lineup handoff trouble that was given. It was play breaking down, bad offensive line, Lamar taking off. Mm-hmm. You can't have those instances happen in this matchup. And then on the flip side, I'd like to see the Chiefs, you know, run the football better. They have traditionally against the Ravens, mm-hmm. run the football to a larger amount of yards than their average, mm-hmm. against the Ravens. Do that again. This team needs to establish a run game. So no, I think a bunch of this is about the guys up front this week.
And G Lou.
More so than anything else.
And I also think too, 913-576-7610.
We call 15, win some pizza.
I also think we can talk about all of this till we're blue in the face, but I just looked up at ESPN and they were previewing this game, and the caption on ESPN said Lamar 0-3 against the Chiefs, 30-5 against every other opponent. When this game is over, when it's all said and done, okay,
at the end of the day, yeah,
when the lights go out at M&T Bank Stadium, uh-huh. and the Chiefs are headed back to the airport, and
everyone's taking all the extra popcorn.
That's right, everybody's taking the popcorn and picking up the cups and, you know, finding some crabs. I think
so. When it's all said and done,
that's right. When it's all said and done with, it's still going to come back to either Lamar finally beat the Chiefs or Patrick Mahomes still continues to dominate Lamar Jackson.
Has the whammy on them. Yeah,
that's the way it is going to be. No matter what we talk about, no matter how much we discuss what could happen in this game and the ways to look at it, Tuesday morning or Monday morning rolls around and everybody's looking back on the Sunday night game between the Chiefs and the Ravens. Everybody is going to be talking about either Lamar was able to finally beat Patrick Mahomes or Patrick Mahomes just still continues to have utter dominance over Lamar Jackson.
It's time for What We Learned with Billy Coons, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. If you miss any of the show throughout the week, Billy gets you caught up to date on what you may have missed.
Hello, this is Billy Coons, and this is what we learned on Fast Gunner Morning for this week on Monday. Bob and Josh recap the Kansas City Chiefs comeback win against Cleveland Browns 33-29, and the guys discussed their favorite kind of crackers to eat, and Bob and Josh spoke about the Chiefs starting slow, but they finished off strong and won the game. Also, Bob and Josh were happy to see the Chiefs defense make second half adjustments and force the Browns into two turnovers. On Tuesday, Bob and Josh commented on Coach Andy Reid's comments about how they don't need a third option when you got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And the guys discussed which is better, Hostess Cakes or Little Debbie Snacks. Mm-hmm. And Legend Bob, he's an expert on different kinds of cheeses to eat. And Iowa Josh, he likes to eat burgers from McDonald's in his Jeep while driving down the road. And Damon, you joined the show to discuss the Chiefs win and how the Browns gave away the game with a drop punt that gave the Chiefs momentum, and how great Tyreek Hill was in the second half for the Kansas City Chiefs and made the big 75-yard touchdown catch. On Wednesday, Bob and Josh discussed a Royals owner, John Sherman, wanting to build a new stadium downtown in the next 5 to 10 years. And we learned Brother Ryan is the chef of the show. Also, we learned Legend Bob and Brother Ryan like to grind their coffee.
What? Oh, coffee.
And Kansas City Royals, new president of operations, Dayton Moore, joined the show to discuss his new role of the organization. Also, Bob and Josh say the Chiefs defense should wreak havoc on the Baltimore Ravens, whose offensive line really struggled Monday against a loss against the Las Vegas Raiders. And on Thursday, Bob and Josh spoke to Bobby Tressel from WBAL Radio in Baltimore.
Cross it, but close.
About the offensive line struggles for the Baltimore Ravens. And he previewed the Chiefs and the Ravens game Sunday night. And we learned the guys discussed which kind of favorite fish they like to eat. And the guys also discussed which is better, white gravy or brown gravy to eat on certain foods.
White.
And finally, Bob and Josh
don't throw him off.
Discuss John Gruden's comments about saying the Las Vegas Raiders could go 17-0 and they really laughed hard. Great week to listen to Legend Bob, Brother Ryan, and Iowa Josh. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Billy.
That
is what we get
out of either. Billy's number one.
With Billy Combs, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow.
Very nicely done, Billy.
Richard won pizza.
Where's he from?
The other place. Where is Richard from?
Kansas City.
There you go. He won the other pizza from the other place. So thank Patrick Mahomes. It's a birthday today. Getting out pizza.
Happy birthday, Patrick. When you get my best friend necklace, please wear it because I've already got the other half around my neck.
Why'd you have to say it's so weird at the end?
It's so creepy.
I don't know.
It's so very creepy.
Just smiling. You sound different when you smile, Brother Ryan.
You sounded like you wanted to stab somebody and peel their skin off and wear it as a suit, though.
Who said that?
Chiefs and Ravens coming up on
Hello,
Sunday night.
Patrick.
I'll be heading to Baltimore. I'll be on the sidelines joining Mitch and Danon.
Does Mitch have your airline ticket?
He does not. I'm in charge of my own airline ticket. 7:20
Mitch
to kick
gets
off.
Everybody's boarding pass ready for
106.5.
Josh, here you are.
And I'll be in Baltimore still on Monday for the show, 6 a.m.
When do you
Monday
come back?
Morning.
You ever come
after
back?
The show. Yeah, after the show.
Don't get crabs when you're there.
That's right. Get the crab cakes.
Chiefs going to win Better by value. 35 again this week, Bob.
35-0.
Go ahead and mark the tape on that for when you were
35
wrong.
35-0. Writing that one.
I just don't see how Baltimore gets in the end zone.
We're going to do this every week?
Why not? It's working.
I think it's going to be a more comfortable win than it was last week.
I don't disagree with that.
I think Baltimore's in some trouble. In some trouble. Injuries.
With a capital T?
Injuries and doubts and everything creeping up.
And they can't even say at least that we wait till baseball season, because that's trouble too.
Yeah, that's real trouble. Real trouble. Salvi get 48 over the weekend? Needs 3 this weekend?
Yeah, let's do it by Sunday.
I mean, I would like for him to do it.
Why not? It's one a day. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We walk in on Monday morning. Salvi has tied Jorge Soler.
That'd
Let's
awesome.
Go.
I guess I'll play my role on this show and say no, he won't.
Okay.
I think it comes in Cleveland, though, next week. They got a four games in Cleveland next week. So I think he gets the record then.
What are you going to shake Old Bay on this weekend?
This week at Popcorn. I told you, it's really good on popcorn.
It's good.
But this may be an Old Bay free weekend because that's a Baltimore item.
It's fine by me.
It's an Old Bay free weekend here on 610 Sports Radio. Cody Gold, come your way next. Have a good weekend.
We're done?
And
I gotta go. Bye.
You guys take care.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Hey, thanks, gents.
Oh, man, I gotta go.
I'm out.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Talk to you later.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.